Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa. And we are talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today we are talking with OXU Extension leaders of the SNAP Ed program, Janice Smiley and Ann Huizington. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming to the show.
Thank you.
So we always ask everybody a little bit, how did you come to the North Coast? And I know you're visiting, but Ann, I'm going to start with you. So are you a lifelong Oregonian? Where do you live?
Well, I was born actually in Washington, but I've lived in Oregon for probably about 20 years now. My family lives in Oregon and in Washington. And I've worked with the Extension Service since 2000. And I help to manage this statewide nutrition education program. So Janice and I are here today to talk with the nutrition ed program, the SNAP Ed program here in Clatsop County, and to learn a little bit about the program and to do a kind of a program review of sorts and just get to know the program.
So before I turn over to Janice, can you say what SNAP stands for?
Yeah, SNAP stands for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, and that was formerly the food stamp program. So SNAP Ed is the education portion of the food stamp program.
Oh, that's great. And do you have a background in nutrition? How did you get into this?
I came to nutrition actually through a background in the restaurant industry. Oh. I used to be a chef.
Oh, cool.
And I worked in food banks for many, many years as a chef, and eventually went back to school and became a dietitian, a registered dietitian, and got involved in community nutrition education, which got me excited about Extension because of its community focus.
And were you a chef here in Oregon?
I was a chef in Washington mostly.
Oh, that's,
yeah,
that's
up in
great.
Seattle area.
And do you still cook a lot?
I do. I cook a lot, and I like to grow a lot
just
of my own
professionally.
Food. Just
not professionally.
It's a whole different world, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yes.
Well, and Janice, I know that you have circled around. You actually started out here on the Oregon coast, didn't you?
Born and raised in Seaside, and so lots of family in Clatsop County, so it's nice to be back here again.
And did you go to Astoria High School? Or?
No, Seaside High School.
Seaside High School, okay.
And where are you living now?
And so now I live up in the Portland area. And I go back and forth between Portland and Corvallis. I'm part of the statewide team with Ann. And so we work very collaboratively together for the SNAP Ed program.
So was it a good growing up here on the coast, and has it changed a lot? Or
it has grown a lot. We've seen population explosion, I think, here on the Oregon coast.
And we were talking a little earlier today that tourism wasn't the thing it is today. When you were growing up, it was more of what, fishing industry and logging?
Fishing and logging were really big. Communities were very small.
Right.
I think that maybe when I was growing up here, the population of Gearhart was maybe 200 or so.
It's a little bit bigger than that now.
It's a little bit bigger than that now.
Much.
The character has changed.
Yeah, not much, though. Our communities are still pretty small out here on the coast.
They are.
And, and facing a lot of challenges, too. And I know that that's something that the SNAP program is really helping to serve out here on the North Coast. And, you know, I am curious if you can, you know, both maybe in your own words and together, explain to our listeners a little bit about SNAP Ed and what is, and you talked a little bit about the education part of the food stamp program. So what is that? How did that come about? What are you educating people about when we do SNAP Ed? I mean, is it, I mean, because clearly it's not how do you use food stamps, it's about nutrition, it's about health. So tell us a little bit about the program.
Well, SNAP Ed is funded through Food and Nutrition Services, and it's a USDA program. And so we teach USDA nutritious eating through the USDA dietary guidelines. We also teach about food resource management, so we teach people how to really make their food dollars stretch throughout the month. And throughout the year, and we teach food safety and other sort of skills just to help people be able to spend those food dollars so that they last longer and so they're able to eat nutritious foods on a limited budget.
And who is the audience for this? Who are the people being taught? Is it all adults? Is it children? Is it both? I mean, where is this taught?
It's both. It's both adults and youth audiences. I know here in Clatsop County, a lot of work is done with the schools. Mm-hmm. And so we're reaching youth in the classroom. We're reaching youth audiences in after-school programs. But then there are also community education classes for adults where they live in the community. And I think that that's the strength of the SNAP Ed program is that we go to communities, bringing education to families, and having them help us learn what skills would be helpful for them to learn related to food-related issues. We teach about cooking skills, we teach about food safety, like Ann said, and we hope that the programs answer the questions that the families have about how to feed families healthy foods.
And what are some of the biggest questions you think that people are struggling with and learning how to prepare healthy foods? I guess maybe I know myself in teaching classes that most people are anxious to know, like, what would you do with a bunch of greens? I mean, how to incorporate fresh foods in their diet. Are you seeing that around the state to be the case? Or
I think one of the questions we get a lot from households is, how do I cook nutritious foods on a limited budget? You know, are those foods more expensive? I don't know how to get them. Once I get them, I'm not sure how to cook them. Those questions come up a lot. A question that comes up a lot is, how do I feed my children fruits and vegetables? I know they're good for them, but they're too picky. They're not going to eat them. They refuse to eat them. So how can you show us how to, you know, make it tastier so my kids are going to like it?
That seems like a huge challenge that so many people face. I mean, whatever your economic level, but then when your food dollar is really tight and you only have so much to spend and you don't want to risk that and you can't afford to waste food, you're really feeling like you want to feed your children well. I think there's so much information out there now in the world about the importance of healthy eating, and I definitely see people struggling to make the right choices. That's one of the things that I've seen firsthand. It's really exciting. We have the SNAP benefits that farmers markets take out here on the coast. And the local farmers market here in Astoria on Thursday afternoons, the River People Market, I have a farm, and we sell at the farmers market. And it's really wonderful to watch the SNAP customers come and make selections. And I think largely through our SNAP match program that we do, because people get, with the first $10 that they spend on their SNAP card, they get an extra $10 that's been sponsored through local businesses. And that 10 extra dollars is so wonderful to see people, you know, have this kind of extra money to try and spend. And a lot of times I see them letting their children, you know, look at all the vegetables and decide, what do they want to try? You know, do they want to try this bunch of carrots, or do they want to try some snap peas or something like that? And it's very exciting to see families able to get their kids involved in that decision-making process. But I know it's a huge challenge, isn't it, to get kids to eat healthy food.
Right, it is. And I think one of the challenges too, you know, I think households of people of all incomes, we've lost a couple generations of people who know how to cook
right
single ingredients from the garden, or it's not an income specific issue. But when you're trying to make it on a limited budget, you know, it becomes even more critical to be able to cook some of the, you know, simple foods that come from the garden or from the farmer's market, bulk foods and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a lot what our program does. It gives both adults and youth the opportunity to try foods, to practice their cooking skills, to develop their cooking skills. I think it gives people a little bit more confidence in trying other foods. The farmers market program is great, and the program you've just described for the match, it just extends their money a little bit farther, and then maybe the next time families are back at the market, they'll have an opportunity to try and taste something new. Mm-hmm. And that's how you build up your repertoire of foods that are part of the family diet. And it is very exciting to watch it happen. And kids get excited about fruits and vegetables and are willing to try the fruits and vegetables. They don't seem so scary to them.
Mm-hmm. Right. I do know in one of my adult classes, I had a student tell me that she had never had chowder, and she said it was mainly because she didn't want to ever waste any of the limited funds that she had on something she wasn't quite sure she might like. And so that was really fun to be able to introduce a new type of soup and have her try it, and it was so great because she loved it. But I thought that was a great way of putting it. You know, you want to make sure when you're on a limited budget that the food you get you're going to be able to use, right, and that you're going to like it. So
what do you think are some of the successes of the program? What do you guys feel is working with it? I mean, I'm sure there's challenges and pros and cons, but, you know, are there things that seem like this is working, you're starting to see some positive results from it, or, you know, or where are the things that you'd like to see things happen?
Some of the we track behavior change with the program, and we have a few statistics.
Oh, great. Okay.
2011, and so we've been able to show adults improving in several areas after attending SNAP Ed classes. More adults report shopping with a grocery list. They improve in their understanding of food safety, mm-hmm. Rules, I guess I would say, especially not leaving food sit out for longer than 2 hours, which is really an issue when it comes to safety with children and adults. Mm-hmm. More adults will plan meals ahead of time, which is really helpful in stretching your food dollar to not have impulsive shopping and just go in and buy everything that looks good when you're hungry. And also adults compare prices more often when they're shopping. So the comparison shopping is huge to save money. And also there's been some improvement in just the whole area of physical activity. Adults are starting to become more active. Youth are understanding they need to be active every day. Physical activity component is so important, along with nutrition, to help families, both adults and youth, keep their weight under control. If they need to lose weight, it's a great way to get out there, be active, and shed a few pounds. So the program is showing change. It has really every year, and we're very proud of that people are making changes and becoming healthier.
Yeah, that is exciting. Well, we're going to take a short little station break. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and streaming live at coastradio.org. So if you're just joining us, we're talking to Janice Smiley and Ann Hoisington from the Oregon State University SNAP Ed program. And we are really enjoying hearing a little bit more about the details of this great statewide program, and in fact it's national, right?
So this is part of the USDA,
right?
And we were asking earlier, is this something that is in every state? And you were saying it was maybe in most states, or
in most states throughout the United States,
that there's this education component to the SNAP benefits.
Right. Correct.
And OSU are the people that it comes through in Oregon, and is that how it works?
Right. The funding actually comes from Food Nutrition Services, so it's a federal funding stream, and it comes in Oregon through the Oregon Department of Human Services. Mm-hmm. And then OSU Extension is subcontracted to conduct the program
in the community.
Right. Yeah. And we have the program in 36 counties and 3 tribal lands, I believe.
Wow.
And we have 36 counties in Oregon.
Right.
So all the counties.
We're in all the counties.
That's fantastic. That's really good. That's a lot of support that Oregon's getting for this. I mean, if you're having that kind of success across the state, that seems like a lot of improvement in behavior and potentially improvement in health.
We like to think so.
That can be great.
I know.
That's really wonderful.
So statewide, the SNAP statistics, people who are eligible for SNAP are, is it 1 in 5 in Oregon? Does that sound right?
I think it's at least 1 in 5.
And here in Clatsop County, we're 1 in 4. And what about the kids being eligible for reduced or free lunches? Do you know what it is statewide?
I'm not sure what the statistic is statewide.
I'm not sure what it is
statewide. It has been growing, though, for, you know, the last 5 years.
Right.
Just like poverty and unemployment. And I do know that last year, by one measurement, we did have the highest child food insecurity rate in the United States, or one
in
of the
Oregon.
Highest.
That is so
in Oregon.
Tough
that is
to
shocking.
Hear. Yeah.
And it's close to a quarter of the children in Clatsop County, I think, that are categorized
food insecure.
As
food insecure.
Food insecure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is such a challenge. I mean, I think we can see that out on the street and in our communities as we connect with people. Certainly, everybody knows people who are struggling, and but it's just hard to hear those statistics. That's really, really devastating, and makes the kind of work that you guys are doing all the more important to really help people feed themselves. That's such a key part of our lives. I'm curious, what are some of the ways? I know that, I mean, Anne, you clearly have a chef background, and Janice, I'm sure that you talk about cooking and eating all the time. Do you guys have some favorite recipes or ways that you like to, you know, encourage people to eat? I know we're all big kale fans out here, and we're always trying to get people to eat
kale.
I know, and it's a bit of a running joke with us now, but it doesn't have to be kale-based. But I'm just curious, you know, like, you're trying to get people to eat healthy foods, and maybe they don't have a lot of cooking skills. They can't afford a lot of elaborate ingredients. What are some of the things that you advise people about? What are some of your go-to recipes for that, do you think? Or is there one that you've maybe brought that you can think about?
Well, one of the things that we focus on with our recipes, which are all posted on our website, foodhero.org, we have quite a few recipes up there, but we really try to focus on quick and relatively simple to follow recipes that have few ingredients and don't require a lot of different, fancy sort of equipment and that sort of thing. But that also the ingredients are interchangeable, so... You know, one of my favorites is our cowboy salad, which is a bean salad.
It is. It's one of the best.
And it's a nice salad for families, too, because you can use canned and you can use frozen and you can use fresh and you could mix it up depending on what you
have. All of those.
Right.
Depending on what you have.
Right.
Depending on what you have and what's in season.
Right.
Okay.
And what's on sale. And if you got something in your food box, you know, that, you know, if you don't have to have fresh corn, you can use frozen or canned corn. And it's a super yummy recipe and kids love it, too.
So what's in it? I want to know.
It's got black beans and I think peppers and corn,
green onions,
and just a very basic vinaigrette. It's real easy to put together.
Yeah.
Very inexpensive. Tastes
and
good. It's nutritious.
To everyone. Yeah. Have you had good success
with
this, Kristen?
Yeah, we have. And we've used different colors of peppers depending on what's on sale. Sometimes we throw in an avocado. Sometimes the avocados are really a great buy and it just makes it colorful and delicious. And I have been really... thrilled that the kids love it so much. They really do. And I think because it's colorful.
Yeah.
We talk about eating the colors of the rainbow, and that's a great one to do for
that's
that.
That's a great one for that.
Yeah. So the website foodhero.org has recipes from your program, and that's a resource for anyone to go and get these very simple
recipes. It's a huge database of recipes, and you can search by meal or you can search by ingredient if you've got, you know, a bag of pinto beans from the food bank and you need to know what to do with your pinto beans. You know, you can find 8 different recipes using pinto beans. And
I'm just to think about this too. Are there printouts of any of this stuff available, or are there handouts for people? I just think about, you know, for some people, you know, access to internet services is limited as well. And so that can sometimes be a challenge. And I'm not sure if this is something that, I mean, Kristen, is that something locally that people can get handouts?
Sure. I mean, here in Clatsop County, we put out an emergency food resource guide that typically has many recipes from the Food Hero site to kind of cover a wide range of materials or foods that you would get at the food pantry.
Yeah.
And it's very seasonal. So I think that's a great way. And if people ever want one, they're always welcome to call our local extension office at 503-325-8573. We love you, extension. So that's a great place to go
for those resources as well. Yeah. It's just great for people to know how to access that information. It's easy to forget sometimes that some of those basic means of access are also limited. And we were talking to someone with Oregon Food Bank recently who was pointing out that for a lot of people, the challenges with food insecurity is not just that they don't have access to food, but they don't have access to cooking facilities,
right,
or even, you know, pots and pans, that those are things that are in limited supply. And so, you know, clearly, you know, simple ingredients, not a lot of fancy stuff, things you don't need a food processor for, things like that is really great.
Mm-hmm. So, Anne, are they constantly updating the Food Hero site? It seems like there's new recipes coming on. I mean, is there a kind of a regular new recipe rollout? Or
yeah, we probably post new recipes every month. We're adding to them constantly. And we, you know, with having educators throughout the state, we have a lot of people with really yummy recipes out there. So they send them on and we get them posted onto Food Hero.
I love the whole emphasis on delicious too.
Delicious. I mean, they have to be delicious.
They have to be delicious. And I think there used to be a time when sometimes, you know, those quote healthy recipes, we're not as focused on being delicious, but I'm really personally thrilled with the Food Hero site because the recipes really are delicious. They've been tested for that. So
I think they have been tested and tested and retested.
I feel like it's a much easier sell to get people to, you know, be interested in eating healthy foods if it's not that you're just eating it because it's healthy. But, you know, food is a joy, is a pleasure. I mean, it can taste good. It should taste good. And that it can be healthy for you also is great, but it's wonderful when those two things can coincide. And it sounds like you guys are really able to provide that, which is wonderful.
So are you both testers then for the recipes? I mean, do you?
We have.
Have
we
you? Have, how fun.
The taste panel.
The taste panel.
That might be a dangerous job. I'm sure you've had your fair share of disasters.
But most of the time, the recipes that come in are pretty basic recipes. Mm-hmm. They might just need a little bit of tweaking.
Yeah.
But we have fun doing that too.
Right.
So if you're a foodie, you enjoy doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I
classify
us as being foodies.
Yeah. So where do you think that SNAP education is going? I mean, are there changes to the program? Are there new things coming up, new ideas being introduced that you guys are excited about or interested in? You know, where is this evolving? Because programs like this don't stay static. I mean, there's new theories, new ideas coming involved, and maybe are there some things you'd want to talk about? Like, where is this going?
Well, I think that one place that we're going is the emphasis on developing cooking skills with all family members, and I think you'll be seeing more of that, more programs in the community, so that families have a chance to practice cooking together. And also mealtimes together. Once they've cooked something together, you need to eat it together.
Yes,
at least that's the next progression. It's amazing that people will enjoy eating together and mealtimes and sharing stories with each other of the day.
Well, one thing I really love is the fact that people can use their SNAP dollars to buy plant starts. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like there's a new emphasis on seed to plate and gardening.
Right. I think the program has loosened up a little bit in terms of allowing us to look at that kind of full spectrum of how the food actually gets to the plate. And it's especially exciting because that is a really physically active way to produce and, you know, create and make a meal in the household. So if you can get kids out there gardening and learning how to plant and watching things grow and then harvesting it and making a delicious, you know, salad or something for maybe for their family, you know, that's a fantastic way for them to build those skills, those healthy eating skills.
And for many, it's a whole new skill set.
Right. It's so cool, that self-reliance piece.
It's really profound and transformative to see people, you know, I've sold a lot of plant starts to people over the time, edible plant starts, and people often start out with lettuce as their first plant that they've ever grown. And I love having, you know, sending little plants out into the world with people and then hearing people come back and talk about their first salad that they ever grew themselves and how exciting that is. And certainly a lot of the SNAP customers that we have at farmers markets, you know, I can see that this is a really big deal. And we're fortunate here in Clatsop County to have such great community gardens. And I know that there's definitely a lot of people that are utilizing community gardens. Maybe they live in apartments, but they're able to get a plot at a community garden and grow some food that way. And that's also a great mentor program too, because you're working around other gardeners who maybe you can learn from, learn some of those skills from.
So. And I've noticed this year at the farmers market that you have a lot of returning kale start customers coming back and saying, not to always dwell on kale, but...
Well, I think it's all the leafy greens. And what's interesting, too, is that I can always tell when there's been an article out there in the world or there's something's happened and everyone's been told that something is good for them, or there's been some recipe on a talk show or something like that, because all of a sudden that's what everybody comes to the market and that's what they want. And it's like, oh, I heard. And I think kale is kind of making its way through the United States now as a trendy vegetable, which is hilarious.
Total rock star vegetable.
But you know what's exciting is that people are excited about vegetables, and that's what I love to see, and that kids are excited about some vegetables, maybe not all of them. But it's a start.
Right.
It's a start.
Well, we do have a spinach smoothie. Should we tell them about the smoothie?
Yes.
Smoothies are great.
Very, very popular.
The Popeye.
Have you tried it?
No. Tell me about it.
So this is a smoothie that starts out with orange juice, pineapple juice, throw a banana in there, and then a container of plain yogurt. And then you stuff in it, you put this in the blender, and then you stuff it basically full of raw spinach.
As much as will fit.
It's a good amount.
Yeah.
And put a few ice cubes in there and watch it turn emerald green. And it's
beautiful.
So fun to blend it up and then serve it, because I'll tell you, there are a lot of wide-eyed kids and adults when they're looking at it, and the kids become the food adventurers, and they're going to try it. And you have one first or second grader come up and very timidly take a taste and then announce to the rest of the class that, hey, this is good.
That is actually, I've heard a lot of people getting their leafy greens through smoothies and that whole concept of blending your foods and or juicing or things like that. But using a blender as a cooking implement. Yeah. Can be wonderful and make some of those things really palatable, which some people just have a hard time incorporating some of those vegetables into
meals.
Some of
those vegetables. But even, you know, first thing in the morning, it's such a quick way to fix a breakfast, put things in this, in the blender that you have, a variety of different fruits, and throw in a carrot, throw in something else, and there's breakfast.
Well, just the whole idea of using carrot as a sweetener, I mean, because carrots are so sweet, and you don't think a lot of times, I mean, so many recipes have sugar in them. I think about just a simple red sauce, red pasta sauce, and I was looking at a recipe once, and it called for grating a carrot and using that in the red sauce as the sweetener, and I had never thought of that before, but it's wonderful, and I love to do that, and then I just grate a whole bunch of other vegetables in it, too, and chop up a bunch of kale, of course, and put in there as well.
Thank you for that.
or you know, spinach, or it could be chard, or
whatever. This is
going to
be the vegetable of class.
It is. We're actually on a campaign.
Yes. We'll have
kale
a festival
campaign.
Next year. Yeah. but those are all ways that we can really make it work.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're really glad that you were here. And if you want to find out more about those recipes, it was foodhero.org. Definitely go check those out. And I want to thank both of you for joining us. And we want to thank Mark Albrecht, our engineer, and Luke and Katie for our theme song. And stay tuned for coming up in early November. There's going to be a small farm conference on the coast in Nehalem.
Yep.
Grow the Coast. You can find out more about that at northcoastfoodweb.org and also at foodroots.org.
Yes.
If you want to find out more about that, it's going to be great.
It's going to be a fabulous event. And if anybody wants to listen to this show later, this show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Comes from